Yeah. Okay. We gonna do it like this. Back again. Santana. Oh. Fuck with your boy.
Dipset.
Dipset. Heat makers. Yo, I try to be easy. Try to be calm, breathe easy, and don't seem easy.
Nope.
I'm on my P's and Q's.
What else?
Y's and Z's. Four fives on the side of me.
Uh-huh.
Plus, four guys on the side of me.
What?
With four fives on the side of them.
Yeah.
We could play now. This is a war, not a playground. We came to lay or get laid down. Spray or get sprayed down. Waterfalls any day now. Cops with their water wall raid downs. I'm ducking and weaving, running and leaving. Not trying to feel the cuffs when they squeezing, or the plunger they stuffed in Louima. So I'm stuck with this Nina. I'm stuck with this finger. Itchy as fuck. You fuck up, I leave you, chump. Went to school but ain't stay in class. Hated class. Only first period, yup. I could relate the math. Play games, but the games is bad.
Man, it's an era, man. I keep saying it's an era. It's an era. See, that's an era of time. Even I think now when I say, like, in the homecoming season, like, that era of time, like, it's solidified. Like, I think it might be, like, 2000s, early 2000s hip-hop might be up, like, might be the second coming to, I can't say to the 80s because the 80s started it, but, you know, the early 2000s to be fucked with.
Oh, that's a fact. I always know it's going to be a good show when Trip plays something that I was already kind of listening to.
Mm-hmm.
I was bumping Dipset earlier today, so I was already in that mode. So now that you throw the Santana on, it's like, oh yeah, I already know where we going.
You ready for the tour? You ready for that Cameron Mason Jadakiss tour?
Yeah, they actually touching down in the city, I think, next week, right? Mm-hmm. And they got music coming out together.
That's fire.
Cam Jada and Mace got a song.
The Big Swoovy.
I ain't hear that. I gotta listen to that.
Well, they haven't officially released it. They teased it. Cam teased it actually. Sorry. They just played the Jada verse and the Mace verse.
I was gonna say, if you said if Flex played it, he didn't let that shit play.
Nah, it was something else I heard him tease today though.
Okay. Yeah, nah, that's definitely a classic. That was a man, that big clothes era, man. We forever could talk about that shit because that's our era, you know what I'm saying? That's you know, people that had the 90s or the 80s and on the cardboards and shit, we had the big clothes, but you know, we ain't gonna keep going back to that time.
I hope we never go back to that extra baggy time, to be honest. You know, I'm not feeling the jeggings, but I definitely don't want to go back to the 3XTs. And, you know, having to scringe up your jeans in the corner so the belt stay on there. Nah, I don't want to go back to that era.
I feel like the clothes is kind of going back to being a little bit regular now. Like, I don't really see it being crazy. You probably get people doing more outlandish shit, but I feel like people was wearing regular clothes again. Like, it's not the super, super tight clothes anymore, though.
Yeah, I mean, I'm glad we kind of got away from that. Trip, you still got the music playing?
Yeah, that motherfucker high.
On there, it's in the background.
You gotta cut it already, man. You, it's like you fell asleep at the wheel, baby. Come on.
Man, it's ready. I was in the groove.
You know, Triple let the whole album play if you let him.
Sometimes you be in that groove, you hear that song, and you just like, yeah, you just want to keep rocking out, man. You know, that, like you said, that was the era, man.
Mm-hmm.
It definitely was, man. I mean, listen, do we want to get into a topic, or do we want to let the people know what they're listening to first? Because there's one topic that's probably going to take up most of this episode. We know what it is.
Facts.
So let's go. Okay.
Shooting the shit.
Shooting the shit.
Shooting the motherfucking shit, man.
What's good in the hood?
What we going to get to first, man?
I think that we got to address the elephant in the room. I mean, we didn't record last week, obviously, because of the travel. Sean was traveling back home, so we gave it a week off.
I fell asleep too.
Nah, I mean, but that's part of the travel though. That's part of the travel. Yeah, it's happened to all of us. But in this last week, you know, there was the Kanye t-shirt drama, which continues to grow because I mean, there's so much shit coming out now. They got the Tucker Carlson interview with so many quotables coming out of that. He actually did an interview on the shop with Bron and them, but they gonna scrap the interview. They're mm-hmm. not even going to let the footage come out because they say it was just too controversial and he was promoting hate speech in there. So I feel like this is going to be a topic. I know we're going to talk about it. If not for the whole episode, most of the episode. So we might as well get right into it, man.
First of all, y'all know how I've been shut that the Kanye shit off. I don't think we had a Kanye song up here in a long time. So.
Yeah, I think he's definitely on the Soulja Boy list, man. Like it's at the point where, you know, he keeps doing this shit over and over again. I know Tripp had gave up on him a long time ago, and I was flirting with the idea of buying some Yeezys, but I was kind of really officially got to say fuck him because he just keeps doing like the same bullshit every time, and then I can't keep waiting to be like, oh, he means this. Like, nah, bro. Like, you know what the fuck is going on, bro. Like, you got to take some responsibility for the shit that you do, man.
Yeah, that's. Nah, I would say that's a fact. I mean, I kind of felt the same way Tripp has felt for quite some time. Like, we got to make him accountable for the shit he say. We can't let him hide behind this, oh, he's an artist, or, oh, he's on a philosophical level that you guys can't understand, which I can't fucking stand either. People try to make it seem like, don't get me wrong, Kanye is a smart motherfucker, but people try to make it seem like he is so much smarter than us that the shit he's saying is so deep that we not catching it. Like, nah, it's just... A troll, bro. He say shit to just get your attention, and when he got your attention, then he want to drop some clothes. Then he want to drop an album. Then he want to drop a project he working on. We know the routine. We've seen it over and over again. But for me, I just feel like he's so far overboard at this point with the shit that he's doing that it's beyond canceling Kanye. It's beyond that. It's like, yo, we not even fucking with you at this point. Just boycott though everything you got going on.
Yeah.
It's crazy, man.
Yeah, he also, like, you know, this it's to the point where I even said this shit, like, I never really cared for the Kardashians, but I even felt bad for Kim a little bit dealing with this motherfucker, because I'm like, bro, like, he's a fucking tyrant, bro.
It's embarrassing.
Yeah. Like,
it's really embarrassing.
It is. It's, if we feeling bad for Kardashians, that shows you how far Kanye done gone, B.
It's to the point where it's like, bro, you so back and forth and wishy-washy, like, regardless if you just feeling whatever way, you got to stand on some shit. Like, you acting as if you're a kid in this culture right now, because that's, so to speak, that's how the kids are right now, right? They just dead asses don't give a fuck. They wishy-washy. They could be cool with somebody one day and be kind of trying to kill a motherfucker the next day. You know what I'm saying? Versus, you know, we say this shit all the time, like, shit, old head rules, like, we stand on some shit, like, even if I don't fuck with you, I just ain't gonna, you know what I mean, I keep the fuck away from you, or whatever the case may be, but I don't know, it's to the point where it's just so annoying, because it's like, every time you turn around, there's some shit with him, man, and it's like, with the White Lives Matter shit, and Candace Owens and shit, you know, like, she had been talking shit about them for a minute anyways, like, that shit wild, man, like, I ain't gonna say he's like, you know, R. Kelly with some motherfuckers, but I don't even want to hear his music. But I kind of don't want to hear his music because he's annoying the fuck out of me, bro.
I actually haven't even liked Kanye's music probably, I want to say, his last 3-4 albums. So I haven't even really been checking for it anyway. The songs I heard, like, I'm a still, you know, whole College Dropout, you know, in the same place because that's just a part of my history. And I think that's a classic album. Even Late Registration as well. You know, I think College Dropout is still his best album. But, you know what I mean? Like, as far as anything new or recent, maybe like the past 5-6 years, I'm not really into Kanye's, you know, music anyway right now. But when you add in all the fuck shit that he out here doing, like, I can't, you know, my cousin and Dills, they be getting mad at me because a pair of Yeezys is dropped and they'll try to get me to do the raffle. And I'm like, nah, bro. I'm not even, yo, but you're not spending your own money. I don't give a fuck. I'm not supporting that shit. You know, so you can't be out here, you know, doing the shit that he out here doing and everybody just cool with that because it's yay, nah.
I'm glad you brought up the music because I've been thinking about this shit too, right? So Kanye artistically, right? From the production, from the bars, He's legendary. We know that. Like you said, College Dropout, Late Registration, shit. Dark Twisted Fantasy, one of the illest albums ever. 808s and Heartbreaks. Like, he got classic shit under his belt. Absolutely. Right? But it feels like Kanye kind of knows that he's got to do this type of trolling to really keep our attention. right? Because on the flip side, when's the last time Hov dropped a solo project?
Been a minute. Four.
But check it, right? My point on all that is to say this, right? Hov don't got to drop nothing. Hov don't got to be on social media. If we hear there's a Hov verse, it got everybody's attention.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Right? Same thing with Lil Wayne. Wayne ain't dropped a solo project in a while. But if you know Wayne is on a verse, yo, I got to check that shit out. There's certain people, right? Andre 3000 with Three Stacks. If Three Stacks, who has never released a solo album, came out today and said, yo, I'm dropping something next month, social media would go crazy.
Hell yeah.
Right? But these are people that don't got to troll on social media. These are people that don't have to, like, you know, ask for your attention. We know they dope and we understand the art. It's gotten to the point with Kanye where I feel like he got to do this shit for us to really be a part of it now, because with all the trolling he's done over the last couple of years, it was always the lead up to an album. The whole shit he did with Kim, you know, a year and a half ago, led up to him dropping the gospel album, you know, his Christian rap album, where he ultimately brings Kim out in a wedding dress at one of the listening parties. Mm-hmm. So it's like he does this shit to get your attention just so he could be like, oh, by the way, I'm doing this with it. And I feel like Tripp said, we got into a point where we don't give a fuck about it no more. He does this shit all the time. I'm telling you, I was really thinking about this shit. You can't tell me the same dude who sat there on national TV and said George Bush don't love black people, right? On Through the Wire, he referenced Emmett Till, knowing what that meant to the black community.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But then here you are 20 years later saying slavery was a choice, white lives matter. You pandering to a certain group, bro. You talking out of both sides of your mouth because that's the group you want to cater to now, and you want to start up this conversation around your name. And we got to call it what it is. That's what it is. You want our attention. That's all it is. You that bratty kid in the corner who mad that you're not our favorite no more. So now you want our attention.
Yeah, that's what it, that's what it's seeming like. It's always a new stunt that he's pulling. But, you know, it's like, that was just crazy, man, for you to do that. And then the interview, you know, where he's talking about it and trying to explain it, it's just like, yo, you full of shit, Kanye.
And he didn't explain shit.
No.
He didn't explain shit.
White lives matter because they matter. What?
That's, yo, I kid you not, I watched the first like 30 minutes of the interview just because I wanted to see what was the lead up to it. Nah, dead ass. Because at that point, I was so frustrated. Like, now, hold on. I got to see what the lead up to this question was. Because in the clip that you see on social media, all he says is because they do. Mm-hmm. It's like, that's your answer to the shit?
Yeah.
He goes on this long-winded response about how his pops was a Black Panther, how his pops was a genius, but he didn't get chances because he was racially profiled and racism was used against him to stop his growth within the professional world. He goes on this long-winded answer, forgets what he was even talking about, and in the middle of the answer, he goes, oh, but to answer your question, White Lives Matter t-shirt, because they do, and then just laughs about it.
He don't give a fuck about nobody, right? Nothing, unless it's fucking Kanye, bro. Like, he just wants to stand out and be that person in history to where they're that this fucking savant of an artist and clothing designer and was breathtaking and did, you know what I mean? This is what he wants to be. And it's like, bro, like, let the work that you do speak for that shit. Like, when he got mad at Sway and Sway was trying to tell him what it was, and he came back and was like, yo, Sway, you did try to help me. And then you was just talking about with George Bush. He actually came back and was like, yo, he's sorry to George Bush and shit. Like, he just be fucking all over the place, bro. Like, he don't give a fuck about nobody if it ain't him, bro.
Because he, like I said, he panders to a select group of people when it benefits him at the time. When Hurricane Katrina hit, he knew he had all of Black America's attention at that moment. So it was convenient to say George Bush don't like Black people, because within the Black community, that's how a lot of people felt. We saw that the relief money wasn't getting down there. We saw how the people was out there literally dying on the roofs of their home. So it was convenient. I could throw this shit out right now, and even if you don't listen to my music, you're gonna applaud me for saying this shit right now.
And you're going to be checking for me.
Right. And now you're going to be checking for me. But like I said, he does this shit on purpose. Like, even look at the interview. You doing an interview on Fox News with Tucker Carlson? Like, let's keep it a buck, bro.
Yeah.
When have your paths ever crossed?
Exactly.
Mm. But because, you know, go ahead, bro. Go ahead.
No. You was about to say something. I'm going to bring it about to us.
I was about to say, because, like, you know, the way we all feel is the way the culture feels. The culture ain't fucking with you right now. So the coach ain't going to give you the platform to even try to explain yourself no more. We just not fucking with you. So now I'm going to go to Tucker Carlson and them because that's who I've been pandering to. Candace, someone's wearing my T-shirt, now conveniently releasing an audio of over 10 years ago of my wife saying some derogatory shit about Whitney Houston.
Yeah.
Who the fuck keep a voicemail over 10 years, bro?
Yeah. Nah, that's some nut ass shit. Nah, it's people like that, though. It's people that are dead be like, nah, I'm going to hold on. Like, they just petty as fuck. Like, you know some petty ass people out here in the world. They'll hold on to some shit for the rest of their life just to fucking have it for that one fucking moment just to say, yo, I got you. Like, it's never that fucking serious. Like, you, that's it. We had an episode, a ton of episodes ago. I think it was Level of Petty or some shit like that. But, bro, I can never be that petty, bro. It's never that deep.
That's the difference, though, because, see, for Kanye, it's like, yeah, I'm going to go on Fox News and do this interview because they're going to let me say all of the fuck shit I'm going to say and not check me in any way, shape, or form the way that Van Lathan checked him, you know, when he was on TMC a couple of years ago when he said that fuck shit. Now you see the LeBron and them said, nah, we'll give you a platform to explain yourself, but now that you trying to use my platform for some fuck shit, nah, we're not gonna do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so he got to go to the platforms where, and there's gonna be some, a lot of our platforms that's gonna have Kanye on there and let him say what the fuck he want to say because they want the views.
Yeah,
you know, but you know, shout out to Braun and Maverick and those guys, everybody that you know that's part of the shop to say, nah, we're not doing that, we're not supporting that. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, I would have liked to hear what he said just because. In that setting, I would like to hear it, but you know, if he's talking reckless, then nah, fuck that. We're not even gonna push that out there for the people to see and feed off of.
Right.
Like I said, I watched 30 minutes of that joint. Tucker Carlson wasn't asking no follow up questions. It was very vanilla shit. Very like, I'm just gonna throw you this alley oop so you can go ahead and speak. And then we're just gonna move on to the next thing. Cause there's no way that a respected journalist, if I ask you the question, why would you wear a shirt that says White Lives Matter? And then you end it off by saying, because they do. Like, all right, like, what does that fucking mean, bro? Because they do. Of course we know lives matter. We're not saying that. But in this current climate of the country, there's a specific reason why we're pushing the message of Black Lives Matter.
Yeah. And you as a Black man, knowing that and being aware of what's been going on in this country for hundreds of years, to then go against the grain, even if you don't support the organization Black Lives Matter, you're still mocking the meaning of Black Lives Matter and why people have to say that.
And all this shit, again, this, as smart as Kanye is, he allows people to use him too, bro. Because how convenient, like I said, I was watching the joint. The YouTube clip is like 2 hours long, so I actually had the commercials from the day it aired on Fox News. The commercials they showed were a preview of Candace Owens' documentary series where she's trying to expose the Black Lives Matter organization. And then same thing with Tucker Carlson, where he's attacking obesity in the country and how it's hurting the country, which are two topics that Kanye has been talking about a lot over the last week. So it's like you allow them to use you for their agenda as well. They got you pushing this narrative that now fits into what they were trying to promote for their own shows and shit. You know what I'm saying? And I've heard people say like shit like, oh, you know, maybe he's never experienced racism. Maybe he doesn't know what's really going on in the Black community. And if that's true or not, I don't know. He grew up in Chicago. I don't know how much racism he experienced. But guess what? I've never experienced a mass shooting at my school, but I would never downplay that scenario and make it seem like, oh, that's not a big issue in this country when we consistently see that shit happen. Just because you never physically experienced it yourself doesn't give you the right to downplay it for the other people that have experienced it. That's what makes it so disrespectful that he says shit like, you know, white lives matter because they do. Oh, slavery was a choice. Nah, bro, like you really spitting in the face of people who are going through real life situations in this country and you treating it as a joke and as a promo for whatever you want to put out now.
Yeah. That's the part that really sucks is you know a lot of Black and brown people, you know what I'm saying, have lost their lives, you know what I'm saying, at the hands of police in this country.
So, you know, when you play around with that, is you disrespecting Breonna Taylor. You disrespecting George Floyd. You know what I'm saying? You disrespecting Mike Brown. You disrespecting all of these young men and women that had their lives stolen from them at the hands of the police. And you disrespecting the people that love those people and that still gotta be here and deal with them not being here. So, you know, it's corny shit. That's why I'm over it. I know we got to talk about it, you know, because somebody gotta, you know, say over the opposite it. To that and just say, you know, and call that bullshit out. Right. So we gotta speak about it.
And that's the key, bro. And I agree with you, Sean, too. Like you said, like we come from a different era. We come from a different cloth of like accountability, right? So a lot of the young kids is like, oh, they the OGs. They in their late 30s. They done seen some shit. Kanye older than us, bro. Kanye in his 40s. He older than us. You out here moving like a bitch, bro. Let's call it what it is. You moving like a bitch.
Yeah.
Like you embarrassing your family. You know what I'm saying? You embarrassing everything your grandfather and your mother stood for. And his father, because his father was an ex-Black Panther. He's talked about his grandfather being arrested during the Civil Rights Movement.
Yeah.
So you telling me all the work they put in, all the things they educated you on to make you a better man, was that shit don't mean nothing?
He about himself, man. He don't give a fuck, man.
Yeah.
He don't care about nobody.
That's a fact.
Yeah, but, you know, we got to keep calling him out, though, because
right.
There's a lot of people that's going to follow that bullshit. So we have to continue to call them out. When motherfuckers is out here, you know what I'm saying, just on some straight up bullshit, you have to call them out. You can't say, oh, nah, cause that's yay. Nah, cause this so and so, this nah. If you out here doing bullshit and you got followers and people that idolize you while you're doing the bullshit, no, that has to be checked. Because that's why all of this dumb shit is going on out here, is because nobody is being checked anymore. We just out here letting people do whatever the fuck they want to do, say what they want to say, no matter who it offends, who getting disrespected by it. Like, nah, man. We done been through way too much bullshit to sit up here and have a Black man sit up here on the platforms that he's able to get on and talk crazy and nobody says nothing about it. Nah, sorry.
We have to keep, because that's what it is, man. These motherfuckers applaud this dumb shit, bro. Motherfucker be a grown man acting like a fucking idiot, like a child, and motherfuckers go ahead, yay, yeah, man, he a god, bro, he a god. No, he not, bro. Fuckers, y'all put him on that, like, but it's true. Like, we laugh about like situations, like for example, like Antonio Brown. That's fuck shit, bro.
Yeah.
That's fuck shit. But nobody around him is brave enough to tell him, yo, you wildin', my nigga. Like, you bugging the fuck out.
Yeah.
They're gonna say self-expression. I'm just doing what I wanna do. I mean, they get this paper and they get real bratty, and this is who people are always been, you know what I'm saying?
It's just enhanced. So,
what you gonna do?
Keep calling a spade and calling these motherfuckers out when they on that bullshit. That's all you can do.
Word. You know, let's switch it up. I don't want to keep talking about him all the time. We already know how we feel, you know. But I guess on some fuck shit, but it was a little different. It was a throwback kind of situation and story. But the FBI used to follow Aretha Franklin. They followed her for about 40 years, yo.
Aretha.
Yeah, yo. She was running around with the Panthers back in there. Something. I don't know what was going on. Yeah, they said it's like from 1967 to like 2007, they followed her and they had like 270 reports. So they was following her everywhere.
Yeah, they had the, what was it? I think last year it came out. They had the movie and then they had the series as well.
Oh, I didn't see that. You know, you watch everything.
Yeah, that had came out. So that's like, I learned a lot more about her. But yeah. That was at a time where that was going down. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, they was definitely being followed. I mean, that's known, though. That part of it, you know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. Because anytime.
But who was she with, though, that for them to want to do that, though? That's what I want to know. Like, that was the inquiring minds want to know.
Martin Luther King.
Oh, okay. Got you.
Because remember her, because Aretha's father was a pastor, he had a big church. I guess now it would be like the equivalent of like these mega churches, kind of like that's like he had a big church. I think it was, I want to say in Detroit.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say it was in Detroit, if I'm not mistaken. But yeah, but they were friends with Martin Luther King, and you know what I'm saying, like close friends. So they had that type of relationship, and it just, you know, who she is and who he is, they paths, you know, are gonna naturally intertwine anyway. So they looking at him, and you supporting what he's doing, naturally they're gonna be looking at you too. That's just how it goes.
And then one of the crazy parts too, I guess in us looking back at it, like they all were kind of young and they just was in these moments, living these times and shit. Like you look back when you say like Tupac did all this shit, he was like 25. You know what I'm saying? These motherfuckers is going through this shit firsthand, and they may, like, you know, let's say they the equivalent of a fucking Kodak Black or whatever artist, and you going through this shit in real time. You're not really thinking about it, but you just kind of thinking back like that was crazy. That was a crazy ass time, yo.
Yeah, the feds, specifically the FBI, they started tracking, you know, when Hoover kind of started running everything over there, they started doing that because they were heavy on Martin Luther King. They were heavy on Jim Brown, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. So yep. Aretha was another one of those that was a powerful voice.
Ali.
That was right, Ali, that was speaking for the people, and they was keeping tabs on him. It's fucked up. It definitely is fucked up. We know that, you know, but it's also one of the things that, if not for the sacrifices those people made, we wouldn't be where we are today. And we still got so much further to go. Yeah. But them people made that type of sacrifice, man.
Yeah, that was a different time. Because it's crazy because, like, the racism that exists in this country, that, you know, one of the things about when you see these period pieces is, and they're showing a time where racism was heavy, and it's, you know, it's being like, because, you know, when we talk about taking what is the show they want to take out of the school,
slavery,
the name of it though, was it, I forget the name, the cultural
yeah. Appropriation.
No, Eric, you know what I'm talking
it's
about
in the, it's in the, yeah, I don't know the exact term for it, but in the curriculum they want to do away with teaching about slavery, civil rights movement.
Oh, I don't even know.
Yeah, it'll come to me later on.
Yeah.
But when you see all these movies, it's like, yo, listen, this is a lot, especially movies that are based off of reality, like, you know, biopics. You know what I mean? So, like, if you look at the fucking, like, now they got the Jeffrey Dahmer series on Netflix. The amount of fucking shit that was going on at that time, it just shows, like, yeah, this shit be going on, and a lot of shit that was going on back then is still going on today.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's like, yeah, they out here, man. It's so much going on, bro.
The glasses going up, right?
Say that again.
Those glasses, they were trying to sell them glasses for like $150K.
Yeah, they're getting auctioned off.
Whose glasses?
Dahmer's glasses.
Oh, yeah, that's crazy.
So have you guys seen the series?
Yeah, I finished the last episode today, bro.
Did you see the, because Netflix right after that also released the Dahmer tapes.
Yes, I haven't watched that yet. I'm gonna get into it.
So I think series is dope. I like the Dahmer tapes better, though.
But that's more of the real, like, actual information as opposed to a scripted show.
Right, but the show is pretty accurate because he tells, on the Dahmer tapes, it's a lot of him talking, it's a lot of his lawyer, and then obviously the people that lived through it. So he confirms a lot of the shit that you see in the series that is true. But what I liked about the Dahmer tapes is how detailed they went into it, especially, like, the third episode after they get past the killings and him getting arrested. To your point, Trip, where it was like you still had the racism taking place, because remember, we talking, he got arrested in 91, so there were allegations about against him, and when he got arrested the first time, that was in like 89 and 90, so there was years of people suspecting that he might have been up to something.
Yeah,
so you had the underlying racism of the cops not wanting to police that area, and then you had that combination of, like, we also don't feel comfortable because he's gay. So yeah. we don't even want to even touch the situation. Right. You got the homophobia, you got the racism, you got all that. And then when I really started thinking about it too, I'm like, damn, that was like a year before Rodney King. So we know the climate of the culture at that time as well.
Yeah.
It was definitely a crazy time, man.
Yeah. So when I watched the series in its entirety, then I'm really thinking back, like, you know, what we were talking about on, was it like a week, I guess 2 weeks ago, with how the LGBTQ community, you know, wanted it off of that genre on Netflix. And it's just like, I'm confused as to, I'm like, how would that not be a part of that? Like, you can have multiple genres on them. A lot of movies have multiple genres. You know, romantic comedy. You know what I'm saying? Like, there's different genres that combine on one film. So that's a part of it. Like, it has to be there. Like, we're talking about, first of all, he only attacked homosexual men.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go.
He was.
Ain't that the G right there? That's the G.
Yeah. When you he said that's the G. When you watch the Dahmer tapes, when you get a chance and watch it, there's a couple things. Like I said, one, they talked about the police sensitivity towards the gay community, which is one of the reasons why they tried to be so hands off about it, because they didn't want to interfere, because they had already been complaints that the cops were policing the gay community a little harsher than they were policing the regular community, yeah. right? Also, there's a scene on the Dahmer tapes where his neighbor, who was a friend of his, had tried to invite Jeff over to hang out because he had some girls there. And one of the girls that lived in the building actually liked Jeff.
Yeah.
And he had told him, like, yo, you know, he told the story. It's, you know, interesting story, because he's like, he literally was the neighbor that lived across the hall from him.
Yeah.
And he was like, yo, I had some people over my house and we were playing cards, and I knew the neighbor liked them. And she kept asking about him. So I, you know, knocked on his door like, hey, Jeff, man, you know, these girls are really kicking my ass, man. I could use some help. You want to come in? And Jeff was like, nah. He was like, hey, man, look, I'm going to be honest with you. One of the neighbors, a young lady, you know, she thinks you're really attractive. I think at least, you know, come over and say hi. He was like, and then at that point, Jeff's whole demeanor changed. Like, I said no already. And that's when he knew, like, hi. he must not want none of that there. He must not want none of that right there.
He got serious with I said no.
Yeah. I already told you no. So, you know, for that community, y'all care. He was part of y'all community. Yeah. It don't matter.
Come on, man. Nah, he was. Y'all got to take that L. Listen, everybody got to take their L's at one point or another. Listen, we got to take the L for Kanye. We just finished talking about that. He's a part of our community. We got to take the L on that one right now. Everybody,
I remember the draft, bro. Like, Dave Chappelle had
the racial draft. We trading Kanye.
To trade him
for who? Who you want? Yeah. Who you want in the draft?
I don't know. I ain't thinking about it. I just came up with this idea, but we're not to trade him.
Cause we already, like, Eminem was already, you know, in a trade, so we got him already. Like, who's the next, like, cool white person that we want to trade in the draft that we can trade Kanye for?
I don't know, man. You gotta figure that shit out. Y'all hear about this idiot that got arrested at his own birthday party? He had escaped out of the jail, and he basically escaped from Connecticut jail. He ended up in Georgia. He got arrested he got arrested at his own birthday party.
Oh, he was on the run, yeah, and they caught him at his party.
That shit crazy, dog. I mean, at least he got to see his people go up. I wonder, did the police meet him at the door, though?
They saw the flyer on IG. They pulled up.
Yeah, that was the dumbest shit. Like, I don't really understand that. How you out here knowing you on the run and you doing big, lavish fucking events? Like, is you trying to get caught? Like, we thought just because it was in a different state, it wasn't going to find your ass? You don't know about social media?
But the ill part is, though, did they put him on a flyer or something? Like, what happened? Like, oh, let me see.
If he was on a flyer, like, come on, man. Like, that's just crazy. Like, you wanted to go to jail. If you put your face on a flyer, you was trying to go to jail. I'm sorry. Ain't no way you want
to. Oh,
no,
he was in the halfway house, so he was about to get out anyways, I think.
Oh, so then.
Yeah, he was in the halfway house. He was over it. He was like, man, wrap this shit up already.
Yeah, they be dragging it.
Wrap this shit up already. Like, what you want me to do in here? You know, you be knowing when they in them halfway houses be at when a bunch of dudes come out one time a day and smoke mad cigs and shit.
Yeah. That's crazy. Yo, my bad. I'm sorry. I had to go back to Jeffrey Dahmer. The fact that he was doing that shit and it was like, all right, we're going to let you out to go to work, still fucking is mind boggling to me, bro. Like, the charges that he had, even at that point, the solution was, all right, we're gonna let this predator go back out so he can work and, you know, and be try to be a part of the community. And when I saw that, and I'm listening to the judge and how he's speaking about Jeffrey Dahmer, knowing the crimes that he's being accused of, what the judge said, it brought me back to what's the kid's name, the swimmer. That was assaulting that girl.
Yeah, the college student that was. Yes,
and he was caught in the act of sexually,
literally raping the girl who was knocked unconscious.
Yes, and the judge said, "Oh, I think this kid has a bright future ahead of him, so I'm going to give him 3 months."
Yeah,
and so when you say this system is not stacking us, you know, in one particular way, and we're talking about the. Something that took place, what was that? That was in what, the late 60s, early 70s?
Nah, that time he got arrested, that was late 80s.
Late 80s, okay.
He was actually on probation as he kept killing.
Okay, so late 80s, and we're in the 2020s right now.
Mm-hmm.
And the judge is still saying the same thing about predators, about young white predators.
Yeah. Son, when you watch the Dahmer tapes, like I said, because it confirms the show. The show was pretty accurate.
Okay.
When you see the amount of times, first of all, when he got that, like you said, when he got the work release, that was for the time that he had the young boy. He was taking pictures of him, and he tried to sodomize the young boy, and the young boy escaped.
Yeah.
So that young boy, he drilled a hole in that nigga head. He still escaped. Went home, he was drugged so bad they thought he was gonna die. That's when his family takes him to the hospital and they realize somebody tried to rape him and drug him, right? So Jeffrey gets caught, they bring up the charges. Even his lawyer thought he was gonna serve time. His lawyer was shocked that the judge did that on his own accord of, since you got a job, we're gonna give you a chance. Because his lawyer was like, I didn't think Jeff would commit another crime, but I didn't think they were going to give him work release. I thought he was going to have to sit up in it. His father didn't even think he was going to get out. His father thought, like, yo, he going to serve some time.
Yeah.
And, yo, son, when they say demon time, they not – Jeffrey Dahmer was on demon time, bro.
He's on Dahmer time.
He's on Dahmer time.
He was on – son, the shit he was doing, your man just – to do all that shit – Sean, you got to watch the series or watch the Dahmer tape, whichever one you're more interested in. To think of the shit he was doing in a fucking one-bedroom apartment, bro.
Yeah.
Man, that motherfucker was wild. Like, but you know what's so crazy, too, what I hate? After everybody watches it, they like Jeff. And I'm like, oh, because I forgot. They probably they're telling it from a different perspective. So they're telling it from his perspective. We know him as Jeffrey Dahmer. And they call him Jeff or whatever, but yeah, like I guess everybody kind of gets just tapped in, and they just, you know, they start calling him Jeff.
JD, that's what they call him in jail, JD.
Your man was wild, son. He was wild, bro.
Yo, can we talk about how fucking crazy some people are in this country, though?
Well, I mean, we already talked about Dahmer.
That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about the fact that this motherfucker got a fan club. While he's locked up inside jail is crazy in itself. Like, who the fuck is out here supporting a motherfucker that's out here killing and eating people?
R. Kelly.
Who's supporting that? Like, what kind of sick, twisted person do you have to be to be a part of the fucking Jeffrey Dahmer fan club? That shit is beyond me.
I mean, the Dahmer fan club, Charles Manson fan club, like, those are, like, the extremes. But we shouldn't be surprised, because we've talked about on the previous episode, like when these jail bait pictures come out, somebody mugshot and then the internet go crazy. And nobody ever thinks about like, yo, what is this person arrested for? It's like, oh, that motherfucker fine, or oh, that bitch mm-hmm. is she bad right there. It's like, yeah. Nah, that motherfucker killed two kids. You know what I'm saying? Like, y'all really y'all willing to risk it all for a motherfucker who probably killed two kids and shit.
Yeah, like that shit.
They
is crazy.
Do know, but see, that's just people how they, you know, their morals and shit, and they be like, nah, I'm just playing. You ain't playing, motherfucker. You said that shit out loud. I ain't trying to hear that shit. You just right. got all the way excited. Your pussy got wet. You know what I'm saying? Anybody trying to hear that shit?
Right. You ain't even think. You ain't even stop to think like, yo, this person's in jail. Like, what they got arrested for?
Mm-hmm.
Bro, that's yeah. Shit's crazy. JD.
Yo, the the people, post office was stealing money. Y'all saw that? They was getting them credit cards. They said like 1.3 million mail fraud.
They've been doing that.
Nah, I was about to say
they have, but like, how the fuck you getting caught? That shit crazy though. That yeah. they ran it up though.
And listen, they've been doing that because you know people was outside doing stuff like that. It's just crazy.
I'm gonna let y'all in on a secret if y'all already don't know it, and they ain't gonna lose their job either.
Nope.
Because that federal union, they gonna fight hard for them to keep that job. They'll give them something else where they can't tamper with people's information like that.
Yeah.
But they'll still be on the job.
Mm. Damn. Yeah. Damn, yo. Them unions be popping. I was in one union, and it was a guy at one of my old jobs, Trebno, and he used to do some wild shit at the job and shit, and he used to call the union. And the crazy part is he used to tell him himself, but he knew the union was going to save his ass. I used to be like, and I used to think it was the fucking nuttiest thing, but unions be for real, bro. Like, if you ever get a chance to be a part of a union, you somewhere join that motherfucker. But then people don't like it though either.
I mean, you got to pay the dues to be in there. But if you got a job like that, you will never lose your job, bro. Don't matter how fucked up you are. You could be high. You could be drunk at that motherfucker. You could steal. They gonna fight for you to keep that job.
Mm-hmm. But you know what though? So the union that we were in. We were a smaller company with the larger ones. Now I will say, like, when it comes to contract negotiations, they be real funny style with the smaller places versus the larger ones, and they don't really give a fuck as much about, you know, the smaller places. But
yeah.
I mean, that shit cool, man. That shit cool. But yeah, we get up out of here, y'all.
We gonna rap on that one.
Yeah.
All right.
We shooting the shit, man.
Shooting the shit.
Shooting the motherfucking shit.
Fabulous. Yeah. Yo. I don't care what y'all do, how y'all do it, where y'all do it. Yeah. Just keep it gangster. Look at them gangsters. Fabs living the vida loca. The only nigga in the hood you could come see for either weed or coca. Knox wanna see me and my team in a chair. They heard about the kid with the high beams in his air. DEA been looking for proof since 9-3. When I came through in the Benz with the roof behind me. Tell them Jakes, don't want bulletproofs and find me. You need extinguishers to go in the booth behind me. Who the fuck wanna beef? My Fendi knits be 3X so you can't see what's tucked underneath. And I might not even drop. Just take my advance and make this small town in Cleveland pop. Bobbin thing on my hip, that'll make it breathe and stop. Rock your chain in your shirt, your roll with your sleeves on top. That niggas know where my heat stay at. I leave niggas MIA and I ain't talking where the heat play at.